I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feels like my life ain't mine. Who can relate?
All right, guys, so what's up? We're doing a 24-hour podcast to raise awareness of suicide.
Folks, you're not alone out there. No matter what people say about you online, no matter how many lies are out there, don't take it to heart. Don't hurt yourself.
Yeah, we've got two special-ass guests. We've got, you know him as Logic, but his name is Brace Belden. And Joyner Lucas, also known as Liz. What's up? Let's raise this awareness. Let's do it, boys.
No matter how bad things seem to be going in your life, like there's always something to live for. Okay.
Like honestly, let's get some eps going in the chat here. I want to do like a prayer, truth, positive, love, chakra bomb at Jeff right now.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Press ep to pay respect.
Yeah, yes.
Jeffrey Epstein is a victim of cyberbullying, and that's what's leading him to self-harm.
That's right.
You joke, but we need to keep him alive.
Yeah, he has to live.
We like really, really do.
We got to get this out there.
We really need to keep him alive.
Yeah, it's clear that, like, as I predicted, there's no dead man switch. They've done the necessary cauterizing the connections, so he's the only loose end, and so they're just trying to get rid of him.
It's hilarious that in the span of, like, 24 hours, it's basically been like, we're hunting Epstein, he's the devil incarnate, and now we're like, protect him at all costs. Yes. He's innocent. Save Jeffrey.
So from what I gather, Epstein was in like whatever cell block 9 of the Manhattan Corrections Facility.
It's the jail that's right by 100 Center Street. It's just this giant like windowless building that they like, it's not like Rikers, but they like house people there. It's sort of like the Tombs who are, you know, awaiting trial, but like not on a long-term basis.
And the wing he's in is for people who are sort of like, high, we would call them in the business high value targets. And somehow they found him on the floor with marks on his neck, blue marks on his neck, and kind of like writhing on the floor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, fetal position.
And now he's in the hospital.
Well, this checks out because if you follow Jeffrey Epstein's private account, Small Jeff, you know that he was like posting some very dark things that day. He was feeling very low.
All right, I need to. We're going to get into all the genuinely insane breaking news about this. But just by way of introducing this show and our guests, it's Chapo. It's me, Matt, and Felix sitting in on deck. And I just like to say, if you are a listener of this show, you may have noticed over the past month, a couple of months or weeks that. Us, you know, are your hosts of our show here are beginning to develop a condition known as Epstein brain.
Oh yeah, I got it bad.
Yeah.
Matt has full-blown Epstein brain, and I'm like rapidly sliding it into the abyss here. And what is Epstein brain? Well, Epstein brain is sort of
I call
like,
it Epstein-Barr virus, actually.
You know what's so fucked up? I was up to like, you know, 5 on like Les Wexner's Wikipedia, and I was like, it's honestly mentally healthier for me to watch Twitch streams than this. But I was like, wait a minute, William Barr's dad hired Epstein at the Epstein Barr. They're fucking telling us. It's right in front of us.
Dude, it's right in front of us.
There are so many things that are in front of our eyes that only now we're beginning to notice. But I would just like to say, Epstein brain is a condition similar to, for instance, what like maybe your boomer liberal palates have developed with regards to the Mueller Russiagate investigation. However, with the minor difference that the Epstein brain and conspiracy is 100% true and not made up bullshit like that other stuff.
Yeah.
And is extremely whips ass.
Yeah. No, it's amazing.
It's absolutely 100% all true.
100%.
Like the Robert Mueller shit is not only mostly bullshit, it's also incredibly boring.
So boring.
I don't even know who he is.
About Russiagate.
This fucking senile old
only stuff
fart.
About Russiagate that's true is the stuff that involves Epstein.
Yeah. This senile old fuck going like, well, if you'll see here in February of 2016, Facebook post from Blacks for Trump. Boring. Get the fuck out of here with this.
Are you telling me you're not gripped by the revelation in page 7030 of the Mueller report that proves that Gilroy absolutely knew that Montague lied about the meeting in Terre Haute?
Oh God! All these fucking.
We're actually going to do a live performance reading of the Epstein indictment.
Any 24 hours.
Any conspiracy that involves Don Trump Jr. being in a room during a crucial moment is not real. That man has never been allowed anywhere near any important decisions or secret meetings.
So as we slide further into Epstein related dementia, I thought it would be a good time now to bring on two guests that have started their own podcast dedicated entirely. It's like basically if True Detective season one ran for like 30 episodes instead of just stopping before they got to the truth.
Yeah.
It would be the it would be the True Anon podcast hosted by our good friends Brace and Liz. Brace and Liz, Brace, welcome back to the show. Liz, welcome.
Thank you.
My wig has been fucking snatched by Jeffrey Epstein. It is so Jeff. So a crooked cop tried to murder him last night in his cell. I can't pronounce
Tagliatelle or something like this. Tartaglione,
who looks? He's like the guy from Doom. He's
Beast Ravon.
He's the Doom. He's the Doom Marine, but Italian. So let's just get into this. This is NBC News. It says, is it just a news account of what went down the other night? Accused pedophile and wealthy Manhattan financier Jeffrey Epstein was found injured and in a fetal position inside his cell at a New York City jail, according to sources close to the investigation. Epstein, who is being held in Metropolitan Correctional Center as he awaits his trial for conspiracy and sex trafficking, was found semi-conscious with marks on his neck, two sources told News 4. Investigators are trying to piece together exactly what happened, saying details remain murky. Two sources tell News 4 that Epstein may have tried to hang himself, while a third source cautioned that the injuries were not serious and questioned if Epstein might be using it as a way to get a transfer. A fourth source said that an assault had not been ruled out and that another inmate was questioned. The inmate who investigators have talked to in Lower Manhattan facility has been identified as Nicholas Tartaglione, according to two sources. Tartaglione is a former police officer in Westchester County who was arrested in December 2016 and accused of killing four men in an alleged cocaine distribution conspiracy, then burying their bodies in his yard in Otisville, Orange County, according to court records.
I just want to add a Mueller report style footnote here. The place he killed these four men at was called the Liquid Lounge. That is LICKQIED. QID.
God,
that's probably the Likud Lounge, actually.
Well, I mean, he was actually doing some very smart admiralty law. If you kill somebody in a place that's spelled incorrectly, the murder is invalid. The murder conviction's invalid. So free this man, you know?
So I feel like before we can even get into. Okay, like, so there's a strong chance that they, you know, who they are, I don't know. The fact that they bungled this hit makes me think it was the Clintons involved in this.
Yeah, Robbie
Mook tried to set up this hit.
Yeah. I just imagine Hillary sneaking up behind him and she's garroting him, but then she has a Kurdu attack halfway through and starts coughing and falls down.
It's those damn vapors again.
It's like the college episode of The Sopranos. The thing about us wise guys is the hustle never ends. You dropped the files on my husband back there. Your life is just chilling in hell.
Let's just say his Adam's apple was Wisconsin.
But it's just like, so, I hope, but Brace, like it's the nature of this case that like you cannot discover one seemingly incredibly bizarre new detail about this without finding out 10 other even more bizarre things. And I feel like before we can even get into Epstein, we have to talk about Tartaglione. A fucking a crooked Orange County police officer who fucking murdered four cartel guys and is represented by a top mob lawyer. And check this out.
Italian last name, dude.
How? He looks like the Black Lodge version of Mr. Clean.
We just made fun of that QAnon asshole for killing the Gambino guy because we said, what's the mob got to do with all this shit? And now here we got a fucking mob connected dude trying to clip Epstein 2 days later.
I like how
he got the wrong guy.
I like how fucking after like 2016, there were like some like, you know, more left liberals who were like, yeah, apologies to Bernie voters. You're right. I'm joining DSA. Now we have to do the same thing with QAnon.
Yes. Well,
it'll be the new rose emoji.
I want to sort of earmark that because QAnon, we can get into this after Tartaglione. QAnon is itself a psyop from, let's just call them, the cabal, to discredit what is actually happening, which is literally the same thing as QAnon, except Donald Trump's not fighting them.
I mean, like, one of the chief guys who started the whole Pizzagate thing is Jack Prilosec. He was literally a naval intelligence officer.
Not only that, he is like the protege of one Roger Stone.
Yeah.
Along with Mr. Pizzagate, Mike Cernovich. These people pushed, Posobiec really pushed Pizzagate and QAnon. Cernovich mostly stuck to Pizzagate, but they pushed them hard. And they added all this sort of noise. I mean, also, Posobiec was behind the Seth Rich stuff, which added just, like, noise to all of this and made sort of the idea of the Clintons murdering – the Clinton crime family kind of discredited.
Oh, remind me what famous law professor was featured in one of Mike Cernovich's documentaries about censorship on campus?
Are you talking about the movie Silence featuring Alan Dershowitz?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Oh, Martin Scorsese directed Silence, I thought.
Yo, he's
so Cernovich. Cernovich also did this weird thing where he was trying to unseal the records of one of the main victims that was suing Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yes.
Dershowitz tried to unseal them. He like got kind of rebuffed, I believe. Then Cernovich just did the exact same lawsuit. And these were the victims' lawyers were literally like, Mike Cernovich is a piece of shit. Like, do not unseal these records for him. He's working for Dershowitz to try to discredit the victim. And then Cernovich, when the records do get unsealed, like all of them by, or something happens with the Miami paper, and Cernovich is like taking credit for it. But it's fucking white noise, man. My man is behind, he's working with Dershowitz. Dershowitz, probably allegedly by me, hired Roger Stone to clear his ass. And they're working on this big multi-level campaign.
I think that Roger Stone has been involved like from the beginning, like super deep involved. My brain is much farther gone in Epstein brain than Brace's somehow, which is saying a lot. So I'm on the tip that I'm like, maybe part of Pizzagate is maybe they're onto something here.
Well, before we get into all these sort of like double binds and controlled oppositions and false flag conspiracies, there's just two other incredible details about Nicholas Tartaglione, the person of interest who may have tried to suicide Jeffrey Epstein in the middle of like hot, you know, like solitary
unit.
So it says here, when you Google his name, you get a story about this. Illicit phone found in cell of ex-cop charged in quadruple homicide. Nicholas Tartaglione, 51, a former Briarcliff Manor police officer who lived on Old Mountain. He lived on the Old Town Road near Otisville.
Oh, dude, he's hopping on that remix. Lil Nas X. Yo, we got Jeffrey Epstein on the new remix. Old Town Road.
He faces 17 counts, including 4 counts of murder in furtherance of a narcotics conspiracy. Federal prosecutors are seeking the death penalty.
Okay? Yes,
yes.
This guy's facing the death penalty. So check this out. According to a letter prosecutors filed on Monday, correction staff at the New York Metropolitan Correctional Center in Manhattan saw Tartaglione holding a mini cellular phone in his hand on July 3rd while in his cell. Okay, why is the date July 3rd important? July 3rd happens to be the same day as when a panel of judges with the Second Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that some 2,000 pages of the Epstein case files had to be unsealed. And now a guy who does hits for the mob, who's a former cop facing the death penalty in the same holding center as Jeffrey Epstein, ends up with a contraband cell phone on the same day, or was caught with it at least the same day that that happened. Second,
yes.
I mean, so, maybe not as like dramatic to the conspiracy angle to this, but Tartaglione was also involved in the assault of a man named Clay Tiffany, who is known as a longtime Ossining gadfly who hosted a public access show where he railed against the Briarcliff police force called, I shit you not, Dirge for the Charlatans, who won a $1.1 million settlement from Briarcliff Village after claiming that former officer Nicholas Tartaglione assaulted him.
See, that's How are you not supposed to go insane? Because if I lived in that town,
what does God want me to do with this information?
If I lived in that town and there's a cranky weirdo who looks like Steve Brule on my TV on public access on his show, the Dirge of the what's.
Dirge of the Charlatans
talking about the corrupt cops who keep harassing him and beating him up, you know, just for wearing his sandwich boards out in the public. I would just write him off as a crank. And then once he died, I would say, well, he's an old man. He probably died natural causes. Then, oh, no, the cop that he named personally as someone who was abusing his position killed four people and buried them in his yard and then ended up in the cell with Epstein, maybe fucking trying to kill him.
So check us out.
They successfully located America's dumbest crooked cop. He didn't even leave his house to bury the bodies. He's so fucking lazy. Like the Chicago, there was a special forces unit of the Chicago Police Department that was like, they were doing the SHIELD shit. Yeah. Like they would raid drug dealers and then like secretly sell them, and it took them years to catch them. And in upstate New York, I guess just no one gives a shit. Just no work ethic.
He got caught by his neighbor who just saw him burying the body.
There was a foot sticking out of the ground. This lazy fucking moron.
He's like, he left a hand sticking out as like a Halloween decoration. He was like,
whoa, I'm doing a fucking spooky solstice event.
It's for the kids.
He's like fucking
the solstice thing.
He's like fucking
my girlfriend loves solstice shit. It's fucking
he's like fucking Peter Stormare in Fargo. But check this out. It's just a little bit more about Clay Tiffany. It said here, Tiffany used his public access show to rail against the village of Briarcliff Manor and was a regular fixture at village board and board of education meetings. He may have been dead for up to 2 weeks when police found him at his Ossining home on March 26 after someone asked for a welfare check. He died of natural causes.
I'm sure he did.
I mean, Italian excellence is like just killing rude Yelp reviewers. That's the equivalent here. It's the exact same thing.
You can say that's silly, but at this point, I don't know what to do with the fact that I was there in front of the Manhattan U.S. courthouse on last week when during the bail hearing, they say no bail for Epstein. And my just thought is, well, what now? There's two ways this plays out. If there's nothing behind this, then, you know, you have a regular old legal procedure and, you know, everything gets out and we see, and maybe some rich people get in trouble. Maybe some documents come out. Maybe some incriminating video is released, but it would all take a natural course. If this isn't the case, then there's no way this can go to trial by the nature of who is implicated by it, which means something has to happen to Epstein. Like, it's just a mathematical fact. Something has to happen to him. And then less than a fucking week later, the motherfucker is on the ground in a fucking suicide attempt. What are you supposed to do with this?
So the thing is, even if it does go to trial, the fucking lawyer is boys.
That's like, true, which is all, that's been reflecting with me, is that anybody who's like wired into this shit, it would be him.
Here's the thing. I am friends with literally no one in Assad, right?
Likely story, dude.
I mean, you know, I had an internship like anyone else, but I've like, sort of fallen out of contact with those friends.
How is it that all of these people have like the closest contact you can get with Mossad, which means the CIA? Like, boys hired the fucking Mossad or like a cutout company or whatever to fuck with like the people writing stories about
Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, well, it was through Black Cube. Am I getting this right that Ehud Barak is involved with Black Cube?
No, Epstein staked
Epstein and Barak are both like in a partnership in a intelligence business.
Yeah, no, it's not
Black Cube. It's a different one.
When all this was breaking, freaking Netanyahu's bail son was like on Twitter being like, you got to look into Ehud Barak. It's like, what the hell is going on?
Hear me out. What if Boys, he's like, let's go leave True Detective season one, True Detective season two. Boys is Colin Farrell. Like, this is his redemption. And he's got like
he's divorced.
Yeah, he's got like a big son who he's trying to like, you know, leave a good example for. Everyone thinks he's crooked, and he's like, this is the last thing. You know, he's going into the forest.
All right, well,
so the big son, I assume, is Weinstein.
Yes, it's Harvey Weinstein. He keeps getting beaten up at school.
Watching it's like, yeah, Friends together.
Because boys did used to get a lot of good prizes, like you know, the 90s, people loved reading news stories about lawyers for some reason.
What a terrible time.
I know, God. But now, like, we just have to read about lawyers again, except now they're bad. I just don't give a fuck. But, yeah, Boys is, like, kind of in the gutter now. And I think he is trying to redeem his reputation. But I also, like, am 30% pretty – I'll go up to 50% – pretty sure that he's just controlled opposition in this. He is the sort of fail-safe of all the Epstein you know, the Clinton crime family bungles something once again. Boys is there to fuck up the case totally. Get Epstein, whatever, life in prison, but make sure none of the shit really gets out.
Well,
yeah, that's kind of what I think, too. Because, like, what's weird is that – so some of the other kind of, like, tangential figures in this, like, very vast worldwide conspiracy, Adnan Khashoggi and Robert Maxwell, both die – who were both, like, obviously CIA assets. Both died, like, basically penniless.
And
like,
disgraced. In
total ruin, disgraced. Both very strange deaths. And I kind of feel like that's what's happening with our friend Jeffrey. Like, he's just he's the fall guy to kind of, like, move it along. But keep everything in place.
Like, the Alfred to his Batman. Ghislaine Maxwell. I cannot pronounce it. Ghislaine.
It's Ghislaine, but it sounds better to say Ghislaine.
That is great OPSEC by Robert Maxwell, giving his daughter that fucking made up ass name that I can't say.
Totally unpronounceable name. Yeah. By the way,
like, she was at Chelsea Clinton's wedding as well.
Oh, absolutely. Dude,
she's like at every event ever.
check this fucking factoid out. Robert Maxwell was thrown off a boat called the Lady Ghislaine. The boat that fucking Epstein uses, the yacht that he uses, is also called Lady Ghislaine.
And well, maybe he's thrifty.
And wasn't that Lady Ghislaine the one that Maxwell, yes, quote unquote, fell off of? Didn't Trump buy that one?
Yes, from fucking Adnan Khashoggi.
Do these people know? Maybe the problem is just like these people don't have enough friends. It's just like the same four people.
Honestly, like, this is how abusive relationships. When, like, your circle just gets super, super, like, insular, and everybody kind of starts fighting with each other, and they don't know who to turn outside for help.
Yeah.
Maybe if they had all just started a podcast, the sex ring wouldn't have happened.
Exactly.
Or, like, Donald Trump should have cut these toxic people out of his life.
I mean, he did, and, like, he honestly, like, he did cut these people out, and, like, look what happened to him, dude. Like, he achieved, like, honestly, like, amazing things.
Yeah, great shit, man. That was dope.
I want to get back to Ghislaine Maxwell and her father, Robert Maxwell, and his mysterious death as well. But before that, we'll go back to Boys for a second. Another interesting plot line in this conspiracy is the rivalry between David Boies and Alan Dershowitz, which contributed to one of my absolute favorite TV clips of recent vintage, which was Dershowitz going on Fox News to claim that I have, quote, a perfect, quote, perfect normal sex life.
I have never gone past the tip in 30 years.
So he said he said on Fox News, look, I've had sex with one woman since the day I met Jeffrey Epstein. I challenged David Boies to say under oath that he has only had sex with one woman during that period of time. He goes, he couldn't do it. So he has an enormous amount of chutzpah to challenge me and to challenge my perfect, perfect sex life during the relevant period of time.
Here's the thing. He does the whole Clinton thing where he says he's only had sex with one woman during that
time. Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God. That's why he makes the big bucks.
That's why he's the best.
He's fucking winking at us with that. Robert, like, yeah, the Dershowitz thing is insane. I have a feeling they're willing to cut Dershowitz loose, too.
I think he's fucked.
He's old. He's probably not as sharp as he used to be. He's what, like 81?
I just don't think he's. Yeah. I just think he's of no use to these people, and he's completely like out for himself to salvage his own reputation and freedom at this point. Yeah. But I think he's been like he can only publish articles in Newsmax and go on Laura Ingraham's show.
Yes.
Like he's been cut off from like his real sponsors.
Yeah, he wants to he's desperate. He wants to be in the New York Times again. Writing like another article about like why Cinnabon's anti-Semitic because an Arab works there or something, but he's not going to get it. But he'll do anything.
Yeah, it's like all those articles about him getting kicked off Martha's Vineyard or whatever. And like, let's be clear, Martha's Vineyard is like fucking Wicker Man midsummer. I didn't see midsummer.
Absolutely, it's one of the most satanic places on earth.
It is seriously. It is a nexus of dark energy and spirits. and they cast Dershowitz out. And that was the fact that the New York Times, which obviously is controlled by the deep state as well, published that and like hammered that point home. That is like a flare that only people with eyes that like are attuned to the kinds of light that only pedophiles can see. So
okay, well, I guess like this is, I mean, like there's so many threads here, but like they all essentially lead through the same basic question that I have about this and what remains, what is becoming so fascinating about this whole Epstein conspiracy, which is basically this: is Jeffrey Epstein and everything surrounding this case, was he an asset of one or several intelligence agencies? Because it's very hard for me to, like, given what we know about the fact that he more or less openly operated as a pimp and blackmailer in the procurement of underage women for the rich and powerful, more or less openly for decades. And that not only that, he also more or less operated a completely fraudulent hedge fund, which, again, yes, everybody knew was not actually a hedge fund. And he for some reason, had billions of dollars just given to him by incredibly wealthy people with no discernible evidence that he was like doing anything with their money.
And not just given billions of dollars. People like Les Wexner gave him power of attorney. That's unheard of. Yeah. That's fucking insane.
No one does that.
And his entire pedigree to that point had been unqualified math teacher at the Dalton School, unqualified quant at Bear Stearns, a guy who'd been caught up in a fucking Ponzi scheme. That was what he was coming off of when Les Wexner just gave him a mansion, power of attorney, and like $500 million to start a hedge fund.
Well, before that year, Jeffrey Epstein said, "New year, new me." And he was right. He was like, you know, this is my year.
But I'm saying, like, what other explanation could possibly account for this? And like, if so, if we take that like as granted, like, what does this begin? Like, what does the shape of this story begin to look like?
Well, I think it's like very clear that he is. Like when Acosta was negotiating the federal immunity deal, in the early charges that he faced in Florida, where he got like federal immunity from just potential charges, which is like totally unheard of. Acosta's on record saying that he was told he belonged to agencies and it was above his pay grade.
Yeah, he told that to the Trump transition team.
Yes. Basically, Epstein is a pedophile indigo child. Like, he is insane. Like, I just want to put some things in perspective here. The man who hired him at the Dalton School, which I myself am a graduate from.
You and Matt Iglesias?
Is Iglesias really a graduate?
Yeah. Yep.
He's involved. He's got to be involved.
Brayson Iglesias would like just spit ciphers in the Dalton parking lot. Give anything to go back to those days.
Felix, there's no parking lot. Come on, dude. It's Manhattan.
So the guy hired him.
Okay, fine.
Donald Barr was an agent of the OSS in World War II. The OSS, as the virginal Chapo World War II nerd listeners will realize, is the precursor of the CIA, the Operation Office of Strategic Services. So he got hired just out of nowhere by an OSS man. He gets hired by Greenberg, this guy, Alan Greenberg at Bear Stearns. Alan Greenberg, I just want to make note here, was really good friends with Roy Cohn,
who also very well might have had a fucking blackmail ring among wealthy people in New York.
Also,
and was also McCarthy's lawyer back in the day.
Alan Greenberg.
And was a Bob lawyer.
Alan Greenberg was also the chairman of AIG and was forced out before AIG completely collapsed. He was a gigantic player in the insurance industry.
Roy Cohn was also Donald Trump's mentor.
Also true, yes.
There are so many like intelligence agents in this story that it's literally impossible that Epstein himself. He said he fucking used to fly around in the 80s, in the 80s and the 90s, looking for recovering people's stolen money for the government. And he like worked for like African, like in Africa, doing who knows the fuck what. Like probably giving Idi Amin $6 million or something.
Well, that's the thing. It's like whatever. What money were we recovering from African dictators in the '80s? We were giving them that money on purpose.
Right.
They were our clients.
We were recovering the money from giving them the weapons.
And he's like, nobody's auditing Jonas Savimbi's books.
Exactly. The thing is like it is. He's also, like, there is a picture that just came out of Epstein and Clinton sort of, like, looking very relaxed, sort of leaning towards each other across the table.
It looks like they're about to record a podcast.
Well, someone, exactly. Someone else posted a picture of the inside of the Lolita Express, and it is the same. It's the same place.
Yeah, no, it's the point.
It is almost certain that that picture was taken, or people are pretty certain that the picture was taken, like, when they were visiting the fucking Sultan of Brunei, who is, like, probably the most noble of the CIA agents out there. But, like, it is...
Here's another, again, unfucking believable just digression to this story. Donald Barr, William Barr, the Attorney General's father, who gave Jeffrey Epstein his first teaching job.
Unqualified
at Dalton.
For. He was not a college graduate.
He had a high school education at that point. He gave him a job teaching math at a prestigious New York City private school. In addition to being an OSS agent, Donald Barr was a wannabe science fiction writer who wrote,
yes.
He wrote a book, the plot of which was that the main character is kidnapped by a race of ultra-rich decadent aliens as a sex slave to take part in their weird rituals. And in the jacket copy for the book, it says that the alien race that owns the sex slaves do it because they were, quote, so bored with their wealth and power that they needed new heights of decadence to entertain their otherworldly lusts with.
Okay, there's an innocent explanation for all this. All these people are introverts and can't leave their circle. It takes a lot of energy for them. It
takes a lot of spoons.
Yeah.
Honestly, I get why he had to write that as, like, they were, let's say, cosmopolitan aliens.
But the thing about Epstein is that he was not qualified for any of the jobs he ever had. And the gloss on it was, well, he's a math genius. But there's no record of him ever showing any genius or aptitude to anything in his entire life. Which, just if he was, like, doing cover for the thing, he would want to do just to be more convincing. He would show, you'd have, like, an algorithm or something. The only thing he showed any aptitude for was being a pedophile, which means that, he's like an indigo child. He's like the world's greatest pedophile. Well, and they literally, like, it's like when they find the new Dalai Lama, you know, they put, like, the implements in front of him and, like, they see which one they pick out. You know, like, he picked out a fucking flight log or something, and then, like, he's the one, and they just raised him up through the ranks to be their procurer, because somebody in that job has to be at a lower rank. You have to be beholden to you, or else he has an independent power source.
Well, he's the only person in the world who doesn't have imposter syndrome.
do you ever like search for a subject in, like, the podcast thing, and you see all these podcasts with, like, you know, 20 listeners or whatever, and it's like two guys talking into their phones, basically unedited. Think of how many versions, like, and they live in New York. Think of how many versions of Epstein there are that didn't make it, who just, like, live in Bushwick.
They've got an ankle monitor on. They're not allowed within 500 feet of a school. They've not been able to hold a job.
Hometown Reddit.
Yeah.
Like, they think it's like, they're just like, they're, you know, this could be, they'll probably have me on someday. You know, it's like, it's
they're still
together.
Holding out to get noticed by the CIA.
They have,
I could be a great asset. I promise.
They have like a car, and they're like, yeah, next year's the year I'm getting a plane. Like, I promise. I already, like, found the perfect one.
Brace Lolita Volvo.
Brace and Liz, let me ask you this. Like, given that that's, like, what we, you know, are intuiting from the broad outline to this case and the just, again, manifold and insane connections to, like, everyone and everything that come up in it. Like, how do you guys, like, imagine or conceive of Epstein's role to one or several intelligence agencies?
Okay, so how do I conceive of the connection to one or two, several intelligence agencies?
But, like, what did he do, like, for them, other than the obvious? Like, how did this scheme work? What did he do for them?
So going back to the whole history of American intelligence, not even talking about intelligence agencies from other countries, they have been closely linked to the mob and just to crime in general, right? So it could be that Epstein started totally on his own and just, like, you know, you worked as basically a pimp for these people and kind of like a money manager, you know, their kind of guy they went to. Les Wexner is the only proven guy, but then there's Leon Black and stuff. And my theory, and a theory actually I just stole from somewhere that I read, but it makes sense to me, is that he would have these parties. These people would be videotaped. They would be presented with a videotape or be, you know, sort of implied that it existed. and told the age of the girl or whatever. And then they would be asked to put money into this hedge fund. Because from what I understand, he had like no staff on the hedge fund. It was just him like putting it into like a computer program or whatever. The CIA, obviously they knew about this, man. Like, come on. But I'm guessing that they probably kind of use that as maybe a slush fund for off the book stuff, kind of like similar to Benko Ambrosiano during Operation Gladio. It's interesting too that, like, you know, he really consorted with a lot of politicians as well. You know, like they say that there is a well-known prime minister that's going to be named in these documents. People think, Matt, who did you think it was?
I think that's Barack, right?
No, dude, that's Tony Blair.
It's got to be Tony Blair.
It's Tony Blair.
Okay, I haven't seen him being mentioned, but I wouldn't be surprised, certainly.
It's allegedly going to be Tony Blair having sex with a child on videotape. Allegedly.
I mean, it reminds me so much of what you hear about Scientology, that it's just like cultivating like troves and troves and troves of like possible blackmail just to keep really powerful people in check for like a rainy day.
Wait a second. Like, wouldn't this all not work? Isn't like the effectiveness of this strategy of blackmail, doesn't it also rely on the fact that like a ton of rich and powerful people, like for lack of a better word, like fucking children?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, if it's like, I bet that some drunk 65-year-old lawyer who's got $1 billion could probably be seduced by a 16-year-old without like internally telling himself that he's a pedophile.
I have a different. I honestly don't really buy the blackmail thing.
Okay, what do you got?
I think that he provides a service. I think that he is a trusted source for stuff these guys like to do, because some of them are pervs who genuinely have these attractions. Otherwise, I think that there is a ritualistic element to this abuse that's not necessarily involves like real Moloch worship or anything, but that involves at the highest levels a communal violations of taboos,
yes,
and hyper exploitation of vulnerable people to express and solidify bonds, basically,
yes,
just high level depraved networking.
Yeah.
And then you need to be able to do that in a comfortable, safe environment where maybe there's a CIA agent at the door. Who's going to make sure that like some fucking Chinese guy isn't there with a fucking USB that can just get all this stuff. So that President Xi can just fucking wreck everybody's shit, you know, tomorrow afternoon if he finds out about it. And so they're paying for the discretion. The blackmail stuff, I think, is more related to why he always involves these political figures and like the high level, like all the arts people and the scientists. It's to keep a buffer of powerful people who are vulnerable if he gets in trouble. And that means that he also protects everybody else involved in the network. If it's blackmail, they're not going to keep going to him, right? People are going to be like, don't go to fucking Epstein's island. He'll blackmail you. It's go to Epstein's island. You got to pay for it, but it's worth it. Or you got to go to Epstein's island because we're all doing this and we don't trust you unless you do it too. You're not going to be in on it unless you do it too.
I don't think those two theories are mutually exclusive. I think that, you know, traditionally in this line of business, pimps and whatnot, the blackmail and the presiding at service go hand. I know I call him a pimp in a cool sense, just a pejorative. I think that these things go hand in hand. You provide the service when necessary, and then maybe sometimes when you're given a nudge by a certain handler, you might do some blackmail. I mean, obviously, it is all blackmail to begin with, like at its core, because he has the fucking video. If this was just providing a service, you would not be opening up a safe with Young Name plus allegedly Tony Blair.
Yeah, but that's the dead man switch. That's the protection. It's not necessarily something that they're using to extract these money from these rich guys.
Oh, no, not at all. I don't think so either, but I think that provides like,
But that's why, I mean, comparing it to Scientology, I think, is instructive, because supposedly the same thing that Scientology does in order to like keep you in the ranks and kind of keep you closed in their like, you know, whole pyramid scheme is that you have to go through all these levels and you like hook yourself up to these things and you tell them your deepest, darkest secrets. And then they're like, haha, we got it on you. Now you can't say shit about what we do. And it kind of like protects the group. It's like herd immunity, but for perverts.
Okay. So Matt brought up the idea that there is like a ritual element to all of this through which the, like, you know, the bonds of people at the heights of power are consecrated and their relationships are sort of sanctified in a sick and like kind of satanic way amongst each other.
Absolutely.
Through, yeah, like the you know, ritual and actual brutal exploitation and cruelty towards the most vulnerable, aka the young, you know, children.
Yes.
So this gets into what the fuck is going on with that temple on his island.
So if you look at the temple from a bird's eye view, if you look down at the temple and you see those strange sort of like designs in the front, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Kind of on like the I don't know what you would call it, just the area in front of the temple. There's a path leading down from the end of it, from the left end of it. If you're looking down facing the barred door. And if you turn that path into like a straight black line, it spells pedo. So obviously what's going on there, there's been sort of these drone footage and you're able to see inside. There is what appears to be a twin bed in there with like a balled up t-shirt as a mattress and a ladder.
Just like a Brooklyn apartment.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, obviously I believe that there is a fucking elevator that goes down to like a subterranean sex torture chamber. I can't prove that yet, but the bed itself is worrisome because all the story, I mean, it's not worrisome. I mean, it's obviously it's pointing us in the right direction, but all the things that people posited about it, that it was a music room, that it was a storage shed, which is a really bizarre thing to say. No, it's a bed and the door bars from the outside.
I don't know, Brace. So, I keep all of my old bicycles and clothes inside the black obelisk.
yeah, true. It's and they have the fucking sundial, dude. The sundial. No, I'm sorry. No non-Wiccan human has a fucking sundial on their island. And the thing is, it's underreported. He also has an island called Big St. James Island,
right next
to Little St. James.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's been no reporting on that I can find.
Brace, it's basically like Ilsa Nublar and Ilsa Sorna in the Jurassic Park world.
I bet he does have like DNA mutant experiments on that island of some kind.
Absolutely. What if he's trying to make a younger woman?
That's where he plays the most dangerous game.
Yes.
What if, I mean, the ultimate end game. It's not that he has a dead man switch of blackmail. He has a dead man switch of T-Rexes that will be released in major American cities.
Well, that wouldn't be a problem with me. I could easily outsmart it and then sort of take it down with a trap, probably involving like construction vehicles, something like that, a crane, perhaps.
Well, as an empath, I would be able to speak to the T-Rex.
Yeah,
so checkmate,
true.
Mr. Epstein.
Here's the thing, though. Like the obviously, like there's all this talk about the island. What are we going to do about the island? Is anyone on the island? It doesn't appear that anyone's on there right now. Although I'm sure there are some like fucking Morlocks down there guarding whatever secrets. But the obvious solution is that somebody goes to an island, to the island. Somebody has to go.
We'll do a fucking like a D-Day landing and just occupy that fucking island.
Exactly. Occupy Epstein.
Well, there's a pretty good DSA chapter on that island.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's why DSA.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I wonder if this episode is going to get us in trouble.
Thank God.
Dude, they haven't let us upload ours to iTunes yet. It's just on SoundCloud.
Okay. Well, okay. Here's another, and Brace, you told me about the, like, this is like, again, like, if your brain isn't melted by the end of this episode, we haven't done our job. You, like, okay. Dynocorp.
They make the T-Rexes.
So Dynocorp is basically like a catch-all CIA contractor company. They do like trains for people. They do transportation. They just do all the shit that the CIA, it's the CIA, right? It's like a national, it's a security contractor. They call themselves a global service provider. But they do a lot of flight stuff. They are very famous for, for doing a lot of fucked up stuff, but most famously for a child sex slavery ring in Bosnia in the 90s, and then later another child sex slavery ring in Afghanistan much more recently. Of course, Epstein is linked in like a million ways, and then there's like Leon Black that's linked to him, that's linked to fucking
Blackwater. Yeah.
Which is like directly linked to them, own fucking Blackwater, basically.
Through Apollo Management, right?
I can't remember what it's called. They all have all these fucking names. I got it written down somewhere. But Epstein's plane shared a fucking tail number with a Dynocorp plane. And Epstein borrowed a Dynocorp plane to go to his fucking sex ranch in 2002. literally, like, he is, like, inseparable from them. Because, and it's, that's really, I think, an important link, is the link to Blackwater and the blink, the link to Dimecore. Because a lot of it, like, in the 90s, there was a huge epidemic of sex slavery coming out of the former Yugoslavia. Because they, you know, they would take these sort of desperate and white women, and they would ship them to New York, where people like Epstein would either sign them up to Victoria's Secret models or keep them in sexual bondage for years. It's a pretty important link, and we'll be going on to. We're actually going to have a guest from the Balkans to describe this to us in an episode. But it is insane.
And then you said, what about Dan Blazarian, sort of like so, a tech bro extraordinaire?
He's not really a tech bro.
What is he?
So Dan Blazarian's dad.
He's a mafia guy.
Right. Dan Blazarian's dad was a financial criminal, more or less, who embezzled like vast, like eight figure sums. Dan went on to be washed out of Bud's training and become a poker player.
Okay.
But he has no real involvement. No, I mean, he's like founded a few websites and shit, but I wouldn't really call him a tech bro or a tech guy.
I mean, he sells, like, he's got, like, a weed company. It's like, it's,
I thought his whole thing was just, like, Instagram posts with girls. Like, well, isn't that what he does?
And they're girls, but they're also, like, you know, guys like Dan Bilzerian, who, by the way, has no chin, and I could beat his fucking ass, allegedly. He, like, Bilzerian doesn't just, like, hang out with girls because girls want to hang out with Dan Bilzerian. Bilzerian gets modeling agencies like the ones that Epstein worked with to supply him with people who kind of straddle the line between prostitute and model. The other thing is, Dan Bilzerian's, you know, he's a big gambler, right? Like, he's always telling his stories about how he gambled $500,000 and lost it and it wasn't a thing. Because Dan Bilzerian is laundering money for people. And he posted a picture a couple of years ago where he is flying above a series of islands. And if you look closely, and if you put it next to a picture of the islands next to the, you know, Little St. James, you realize that he's flying directly above St. James Island. There is virtually no way that Bilzerian and Epstein aren't connected. And especially because Bilzerian's whole thing is basically hiring prostitutes to hang out with him in like a rented private plane. It's almost certain that he allegedly was connected to the circles that Epstein himself allegedly either trafficked in or ran himself.
Allegedly.
All this is alleged, by the way.
This is all hard alleged. And we're not alleging this. Others have alleged it. We're just, you know, saying what they've said.
But back to like that, basically Epstein's plane was registered with a private security contractor associated with the CIA that's already been associated with not one but two human trafficking networks.
Garrett, there's more than that. I think they were associated with one in Haiti too. I know the Clinton initiative was, and actually there was a bunch of sex rings going on in Haiti pretty much since the 90s, or I'm sure before, but since the 90s that I know about. And yes, absolutely. Like, it's Bilzerian shared the tail number, and he shared a fucking plane. He like used one of their planes to go to his sex ranch.
This is Epstein. I think that not Bilzerian.
This
right?
is Epstein. Okay, yeah. No. Yeah, Bilzerian is not a rancher. You can tell by his jaw.
The like darkest endpoint of all of this is realizing like, oh, this is about global human trafficking and drug trafficking and everyone is involved. Like that's like the probably craziest, darkest end.
Like I literally just I just Googled Dan Bilzerian in quotes and Epstein, and that was like the first thing that came up. Like any, if you just Google anybody who has $2 million, they're friends with Epstein. Have you seen that thing about his black? Have you read the Black Book?
No, what's this?
Like all this, it's his list of phone numbers and people.
Oh, right, yeah.
He has like the fucking the great great grandchildren of the fucking Kaiser in there.
Oh my God, literally the guy from the end of the Hellfish Simpsons episode is in Jeffrey Epstein's Black Book.
It's insane. Like, he has everybody in there. And it's like, you know, obviously that doesn't prove anything, but he, you know, the flight logs, I think it's people talk about the flight logs, but with the butler, the person who really like turned over the flight logs originally, or who turned over the Black Book, excuse me. He said there were names circled in red that he circled. And his ex-butler, who died of probably the same cancer that Hugo Chavez died of, you know what I mean?
Oh, wait, okay, so actually, I was just going to bring up this butler thing, because again, like, I saw this through you, and again, like, I it's just you read this and you're like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah, man.
He said, okay, Epstein's butler did 5 months longer in jail than Epstein did for the crime of not turning over his black book to investigators, which he claimed he needed as a form of life insurance, and now he's dead.
Yes. He died of cancer, which he got, and then 6 months later he died of.
Yeah, terrible life insurance.
Yeah. Well, he lost the book, and he was fined, I think, 50. Yeah, he was fined as well, and then sentenced to, a year and a half in jail. Insane. But he had circled certain names in red, and he had said that these people were involved. I believe there was, like, Spacey, Chris Tucker, Ghislaine Maxwell, obviously. But that hasn't really been reported on too much. I think it might be a little too close to home for certain magazines
and
newspapers.
Like, wasn't Dodi Al-Fayed in the book too? Or was it his brother or something? Like, the connections with the royal family is super fascinating to me as well.
It just was reported that apparently Prince Andrew and the Queen have been talking about his connection to Epstein and what it's going to do to the family.
You're killing your mother,
like,
Andy.
You're killing your mother, Andrew. You're killing your mother, if that was possible, but we know it's not.
So Prince Andrew is Fredo and Jeffrey Epstein is Mo Green.
There's a really weird conspiracy theory that I really like, unsurprisingly, which is, do you remember when Kevin Spacey, like, when he got axed or he went down or he got canceled, whatever, and he did that weird YouTube video.
Oh,
where
yeah.
He was, like, in character. Okay.
Yes, I remember.
So at the end of that video, which is, like, so weird for so many reasons, least of which is just, like, I'm imagining him talking to his personal assistant, like, we're going to do this right now. Like, no one else is involved. It's just his idea. So he at the end, he takes a sip from a mug and, like, shows the mug to the camera. And that mug has the, like, something about, like, God save the Queen. And so all these conspiracy theorists are saying it was, like, a message to the royal family.
I talked about this, like, on the other podcast I did with Nick. So the mug is a commemoration of the Queen's coronation in 1951. And it's got the seal on it. It says Westminster Abbey, 2nd of June, 1953. And then it has a quote from her, presumably from her coronation. It says, throughout all my life and with all my heart, I shall strive to be worthy of your trust. And then,
I'm sorry,
Spacey's main accuser on the stand pleads the fifth, and the case goes away.
It's done.
It's dead.
Free man.
Dead in the water. And there was a outpouring of not exactly the most convincing accounts on Twitter being like, see, look, I always said he was innocent. Like, kind of bot looking accounts.
That's unfair to say about my account.
Yeah, I can't believe Chris Tucker is involved in this.
I know. I was wrong. I thought it wasn't him, but it is. It's the Rush Hour guy.
Same thing happened to me. I was like, oh, it's not really Chris Tucker, but it's fucking Chris Tucker.
And is Chris Tucker's name underlined in red?
No, he's just on. Yeah. He was on the African trip. The notorious African trip with Spacey and Clinton.
Matt, don't make me send you the picture of Chris Tucker, Bill Clinton, and Michael Jackson.
I know it exists.
I mean, we could probably talk about this all day, but I want to just, like, sort of reframe here at the end with, like, a larger, like, big picture question. Like, Brace and Liz, like, you brought up at the, like, beginning of the show this idea of kind of, like, false flag conspiracies. Like,
yes.
QAnon and Pizzagate, which we've made fun of heavily on this show, but yet, like, at a certain, you know, at a certain level begins to look more and more realistic in certain ways. However, at the same time, it's like you look into, like, you know, who is promoted and, you know, disseminated these ideas or memes or conspiracy theory in our culture, and it's all people who are actually connected to this, like, literal satanic human trafficking community. But I want to say, like, broader about, like, conspiracy theories and how, like, seductive and easy to get involved or, like, you know, go down this rabbit hole. For instance, like, we know for a fact that the U.S. Air Force propagated much of what became, like, the UFO mythology in this country.
Yes.
Like the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Like, they've pretty much copped to that. Like, that they, of seeding, like, fake documents showing that the Air Force, like, you know, was dealing with flying saucers to, like, certain, influencers or conspiracy people to make it seem like they were, as a kind of way of distracting people from the shit that they're really up to. And I guess what I'm asking is, like, how is there any way to know, like how do how, like that we're that, that this is all leading us down the wrong path, or is there anything politically useful out of this other than just of how insane and entertaining it all is?
Well, the depravity of has like never, I mean, fucking Catherine the Great got fucked by a horse. You know what I mean? Like, these people have been depraved since the beginning of time.
Allegedly.
Well, no, I think
she's very litigious.
I've spoken to the horse, ridden it too, if you know what I mean.
Alan Dershowitz represents Catherine the Great. David Boies represents the horse.
He sued a Russian peasant for $7 million. But so it's, yeah, like there's a lot of, and there is a lot of disinformation. We're trying to come at this from like a realistic perspective, which is like, I don't think that the Jews are behind it, which is kind of what QAnon is saying. I think that there are some of my people behind it. Yes, but we're behind everything, so it doesn't really make any difference.
We're high achievers.
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't really, there's like nothing we can do right now, basically. And like, that is like that. I've like been trying to, well, I guess, I mean, we could do the same stuff that we would do otherwise, which is like try to like make sure all rich people go to prison, which would probably sort out a lot of these problems. But it's, and like make sure the prison is like a hole that like they can't get out of. But yeah, like it does kind of boggle the mind, because it's like, well, what can I do about it? Like, I can't go arrest these people. I can't, like, I don't know where the fuck Ghislaine Maxwell is right now.
No one does.
But the thing is, like, in court, this will never come out. So it is like, and this cannot just be like the territory of like kind of the Alex Jones, who is also kind of a disinformation guy because he puts in real stuff next to fake stuff. This has to be looked at with clear eyes, and also with people with minds that can only say the word Epstein.
Matt, when you were on the podcast talking about the Dutroux affair, I mean, I think it is good to remember that when all of that was happening, like, almost 400,000 people in Belgium were out in the streets protesting.
Yep.
Like, it ended up bringing down a lot of the government. And its legacy in Belgium has been, like, really terrible for all the politicians there.
Yeah, they've been pretty... they haven't really had a functional government since then.
Yeah.
But also, at the same time, nothing would ever really came from it. Dutroux is still in jail. He's never followed up on anything he is or anyone else has said. The thing I think that's so fascinating about this, and the reason I think a lot of people are fixating on it, not just because it's got a lot of meme potential, which obviously it does, but because in a world where, as Felix likes to point out, everything is always the same every day, only somehow slightly worse, and it doesn't feel like there's any way out of anything, this whole Epstein thing felt like it was maybe a chance to get some sort of revelation, some reckoning, some peek through the miasma at like the actual workings of power that are obscured by the daily fire hydrant of idiocy and bullshit that we're trying to reckon with. And then the fact that the fucking came out, they were willing to do the thing of just in public, in front of everyone, with all of the fucking world's attention on it, try to murk the motherfucker in jail. Honestly, I feel like that's a 2-for-1. Like, if it works, hey, good. Epstein's done for. We don't have to worry about it anymore. But honestly, one way or the other, even if it works or not, what we're getting the message from is that you can't win. There will be no revelation. There will be no reckoning, no matter what. We run this shit. And you walk out every day knowing what happened, knowing that they were willing to do that, that they were willing to hire some greaseball to try to fucking murk Epstein in front of everybody when it's the biggest domestic story going, without any fear that people are going to go, what the fuck? Because all they can do is say, what the fuck?
Yeah,
and there's nothing else to do about it.
This is something that I said like at the end of Fighting in the Age of Loneliness, and it's that we do, like, this is an irregular age because we are defined by a complete lack of conclusions. There's no like tight bow on anything. There's no even definitive bad ending. Everything just goes on and on and on forever. We never even get new people. We're just recycling the same fucking assholes forever.
Yes. Same Contra people.
Right. But it changes enough. Things are crazy. Enough things tease at the idea that things will burst open or stop or explode or wither and die in some way, and don't. that it, just the perfect amount that it drives people even more insane, that and, it drives right. Our concept of time even more insane, that we lose our concept of linear time. We lose our context for the past, for other events, for events in our own lives. And it exacerbates the feeling of being beaten down. If you really want, like, you know, nothing to come of this, the answer isn't like that you terrorize normal people. It's that you just beat them down every fucking day. So even if they mm-hmm. do see something like this, they're just like, oh, that's fucked up. All right, I guess I have to like go to my job to afford, you know, $75,000 of medication, or, you know, I have to worry that my rent isn't going to increase by 50% this year, or, and then they just yeah. get these little bursts of stimulus that are enough to make them go, what is happening to the world, but not enough to make them go, maybe it's more fragile than it seems. Maybe we're at the end of the cycle. Just what the fuck?
Yeah, I think also it's like you said meme potential earlier, and it's like almost even more than that, because I think like people are very desperate. Like each time there's some like crazy revelation about Donald Trump, or even like starting with the election and like every subsequent event that happened after that, it's like, surely this shall be the time that the fever breaks. Like, surely something will change, you know, like waiting for, like, just as crazier and crazier as it gets, like you say, that it has to collapse on itself, but it's not.
No, it's just
and I think
going.
That like, yeah. And I think like reckoning with that and that system is like really important, you know, because that's going to be, you know, you have to kind of like re-theorize and rework and say, well, okay, if the system isn't going to collapse on itself, then what do we do?
It just feels like the gesture that encompasses the moment is a shrug. Because all you can do yes. is shrug at the shit. You're like, we're like fucking Clooney and Syriana. No matter what happens, all you can do is fucking shrug.
This is something yeah, I used but- to something I used to say about like 9/11 conspiracy theorists, like back when I was like, you know, an online left lib as like a 13-year-old would be like, how do you believe in, you know, the Mossad blowing up the W2C or Lizard Man or whatever, any of these ridiculous things? And then you like go on, like your next post is like, yeah, is anyone looking to buy some speakers? You know, yeah, and I would yeah. always make fun of that. And I would use that as like sort of proof that they don't really believe this. And now as an older person, now as someone who's, you know, more of a West Wing liberal, I'd say I am now. But, you know, someone who, yeah, reads about Les Wexner and Prince Andrew and Iran-Contra and the Lincoln credit ring and all this shit. And then I'm like, all right, enough of that. I'm going to go play Fortnite Battle Royale with my friends. It's like, yeah, that's just like adulthood. You just, whatever crazy thing you find or think about obsessively, and then you're like, all right, I'm thinking about getting a new mouse pad, because it just in America, it's very hard to keep thinking about that.
Well, it's also like it's kind of that what do they call it? Analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like you go through all these like wormholes and you're like you're connecting the dot and you're just like, it just paralyzes you because it's so overwhelming and also totally insane, but probably true. That you're just like frozen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I am probably the only person on this podcast ever arrested a pedophile before. There are actually, we arrested probably two alleged pedophiles. I don't know. I mean, they were in ISIS, which, you know, they do that kind of stuff. You can make your dreams a reality. Like, I had a brain. I still do to some respect and to extent. Now I have Epstein brain. And it's there's tunnels on that island. And I don't think that island is guarded. People can get there. You can go in the tunnel. If you did a periscope from the tunnel where you talked about your kids and shit and just like regular stuff, but you're in the and you people like got it, that it was you were an approachable periscope person, and then they saw you in the pedophile tunnel, you could change a lot of people's minds.
I would suggest that there could be something politically useful here if you know, if you're a listener of the show who has sort of like a boomer liberal parents who were really into Robert Mueller and Russia.
Yes. Yeah.
If you got them hooked on this Epstein tip of, like I said, a conspiracy that has the added benefit of being all real and also like genuinely insane and interesting, unlike this Robert Mueller shit. However, the huge stumbling block there is that they will have to, you know, sort of remove from themselves their residual affection and adoration of the Clinton family.
They'll have to cancel their faves.
But that's a two for one because you need them to get rid of that affection.
Exactly. So like if this is a gateway drug to getting like, you know, Facebook boomer liberals involved in this, and you could get them interested in it, and through this sort of cleave them from the just awful satanic Clinton family who are still adored by these fucking people, you know, despite all of like I said, forget everything we knew about Bill Clinton before this Epstein shit. They weren't ready to hear even that. And you combine that with this, it's like, come on, what more do you fucking need to know about these people? They're not your friends.
What we want to do with the podcast is get into like Epstein, like someone was saying before, is connected to all of this shit. Like he is connected to Iran-Contra. He is fucking connected to some of the fucking Gladio people. So it's like by exposing the fact that this is like, this isn't just some like crazy conspiracy you read about on like realnewsmax.ir or whatever. It's fucking like, it's a real thing. They're actually doing it. And there's a political reason that they're doing it. Like, it's not just like, oh, it's slightly Kabbalist, but like, it's important to expose the links here because it's important that people understand that these things happen. They're not just like Iran-Contra isn't just some piece of history that you kind of like, it's not like World War II. You're like, oh, wow, that's crazy that that happened, man. Fuck.
No, Brace, you brought like, it up. The people who did it are fucking currently in the government right now doing it again.
Oliver North was the president of NRA until like 2 years ago. Oliver North.
The current attorney general helped sign off on the fucking pardons that put the capstone on the first Iran-Contra investigation.
And his fucking dad hired Epstein.
The head of Trump's transition team. The head of Trump's transition team was a key Iran-Contra figure. These people never go away. No one ever
goes away.
They just recycle fucking everybody all the fucking time.
Because they're part of it. They're part of the people who the fucking Atlases who hold this shit together. They're like, why would they ever be able to go away? They know too much shit.
Yeah, I guess my whole thing is I think a lot of people like to write CIA off. Well, they used to do like, you know, they used to do all this stuff, but you don't really hear about them anymore. Like they just do data collection now, or like, you know, the FBI used to do COINTELPRO, but they would never do anything like that anymore. It's like different. It's like James Comey. They're still fucking doing it.
Yeah, this show right now, all of us are CIA operatives.
We punch in every day.
We sign checks, but that's not a joke because the funny thing is this is why it's so, this is why this is truly maddening. And it's like, because I like talking about this, that all like this is real. I feel like this is real. I feel like we're talking about a real thing. But I know that there are people out there who are as committed to be grounding in their analysis, who are also 1000% convinced that you and all of us are also CIA operatives and that this is all a propaganda operation, that this fucking podcast and
it's
yours is a propaganda operation. And I know that's
not true, though. Today's.
Yes.
I know. That's what blows my mind is because there are insane conspiracy theories about me.
Yes.
That aren't true. That like, and it's like, well, then what? Who can't? Like,
how am I supposed to know what I know is true?
Exactly. Maybe I am a fucking CIA agent.
Honestly, that would, if I found out I was a CIA agent, that would be more reassuring because then it's like, oh, I don't have to differentiate. It's just all true. It's all true.
At least I don't have to work at Anchor anymore.
Well, this is Metal Gear Solid 2, the most brilliant game of all time. Predicted that information would be controlled not through censorship, but by an overwhelming deluge where you can't determine what's true and what's not.
Yep.
Well,
yeah.
I think we should leave it there. I mean, you know, there are so many proofs in this episode for you, the listener, to follow yourself. But I would like to say, if you want more proofs, you should listen to the TruAnon podcast with Brace and Liz. If you'd like to hear Matt on TruAnon, he's already recorded an episode that's out with them, which you go into more detail about the Belgian case.
Yes, the Dutroux affair is fucking insane.
I mean, like, we didn't even talk about that at all, but like, just
it is a fucking mind wipe.
No, like, I had no idea what this shit was until like 2 weeks ago when Matt put me onto it, and it is so literally unbelievable and blood curdling that you cannot believe it's true, and it is all 1000% real.
Yeah.
It's fucking Gladio.
Another thing you should look into. Operation Gladio. Another thing that is real that seems like it can't be real in the world that makes sense.
You know how every one of those fucking WAPDAGOs in Italy was a member of the Communist Party from the late fucking 40s until like 1991? And they never won an election? It's because of Gladio.
Yep. The mob, the CIA, and the Vatican all working together.
I would also,
my God,
dude, the strategy of tension, hanging. The years of lead, Bologna we're train station, up, Aldo Moro.
Fucking hang, we're gonna be hanging from Blackfriars Bridge with fucking six stones in each fucking pocket. Look up, anyone listening to this, look up P2 Lodge.
P2 Masonic Lodge. Propaganda, yeah. Due.
Oh my God.
Well,
this is exactly why they offed Kubrick.
That might be true, too, though, is the thing.
I think it's true.
Look at Eyes Wide Shut.
True. I've just been spinning the cylinder on a revolver in my bedroom pacing for the last 10 minutes.
Well, Brace, Liz, I want to thank you guys for coming on. I want to thank you for your brave work hunting down the pedos.
Thank you. We're going to solve it.
I just want to be clear, if disappeared and then like our bodies are later found and then like the police are like, oh, we found a bunch of child porn on their computer. Like, you know, they're totally disgraced. You can't trust them. In my case, it's not true. In Liz's case, it is.
So once again, Brace and Liz, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And again, like, you know, just again.
Stay sane.
The disease is vibrating inside me now. The disease is talking to me right now. It has a will and mind of its own. But yeah,
Epstein on the main brain.
If you'd like more of this, if you'd like to go even deeper down the rabbit hole, True Anon podcast. There will be links in the show description. Once again, thanks so much for joining us, Matt and Felix. Always a pleasure. We will be back soon.
Peace, boys.
Bye.
See ya. It's a world.